So last month, I was talking about how God has sent us to go out into the world. And a lot of what we've been trying to do this year is to talk about how the church's mandate is that we make Christ known. And so we're called to go out into the world. But as I was preaching this, go out into the world, I remember at the end of it, I was thinking, well, what is he, how do we know what he's calling us to? Because he's calling us all to go out into the world, yes, but he's calling us all to do it in a very different way. And I realized that a real key thing for us to understand is that we must seek what God's lead is. How exactly is he calling us out into the world? And that's why I've been doing a series on seeking God's will or seeking God's lead. And you know, I was trying to describe it as a divine dance. It's not just about God's will kind of like pushing you on like a robot. It's not just about God behind you just sort of, you know, encouraging you. Whatever you think is best, as long as it's biblical. It's really about God's lead, leading this dance. But he's asking for you to take part. He's asking for your will, your character, the way he's made you to interact with what he wants. And it will require a surrendering of your own ideas and your own resources. And I do believe that God does speak specifically. But it's not like, is God speaking or is it not? It's this dynamic thing. And I really encourage people to be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit every day. Every day is an invitation to God's dance. He's mapped out the ballroom and he's inviting you to join with your will and your strength. However, many times we think the Holy Spirit's leading this, but I talked about last week, you know, we need to test what is of God and what is not of God. Many of us kind of like to just say, well, yeah, God's leading me. That's it. God said it, you know, and that's it. But many of us don't realize is that some things that we say is of God is not actually of God. And so we must be wise about discernment. And so that's what I talked about last week. But I wanted to talk sort of part two of how do we discern what the Holy Spirit is saying. And what I find often is that many people spend all of this time, you know, on their own praying. They're trying to get like, you know, good information from books and speakers, and they all kind of do it up here in their head. And then they think like, okay, this is what God is saying, and then they go and do it. But if you look at the book of Proverbs, which is essentially a collection of teachings that really teach us how, what does it look like to be wise in God's eyes? I remember my dad, ever since I was young, he said, you know, one of the things I want you to always pray for, Sam, is how to be wise. And from a young age, he just taught me always to be just praying, how, you know, God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. And as we look in Proverbs, what is the sign of a very wise person? What is a great mark of wisdom according to Proverbs? And this is what I want to talk about today. As I look at the scriptures, particularly Proverbs, it's this. A wise person seeks wise and trustworthy counsel. And this really flies in the face of our day and age. A lot of us are very individual in how we want to seek wisdom. We're all trying to build up our own private knowledge. You know, we want to show that we're smarter than others. We want to show that we're not self-reliant on others to show us the way. We want to be self-made people, quote unquote. We see this all the time. Is there anyone here who hates like reading instruction manuals? It's fine. I can do it myself. You know, no one wants to ask for directions. It's fine. We'll figure it out. I've been lost for 3 hours, but I'm sure that this corner, this next corner is going to be the corner that we're looking for. You know, some of us, we hate being told what to do, right? Have you ever had that? You're trying to do something and someone comes alongside you and says, hey, actually, you know, you're doing it wrong. You know, it just makes you flip out. There's something about some of the younger folks, you know, when you're thinking about college, right? You're getting your parents telling you where you should go to school. You know, or when you're younger, you're just playing, and then you know you're just enjoying this this ball game with your friends, and then you know your dad comes up to you and says, you know, you're pitching all wrong. You know, I'm like, I'm having fun. Leave me alone. You know, don't cramp my style. You know, we have all of these kind of things that happen. But what Proverbs is telling us is that there is wisdom in counsel, in seeking wise and trustworthy counsel. And this is really what I want to emphasize today, is that when we're discerning what God is leading us to do. It's not just an individual thing, it's a community thing. And why is that? We find the teaching from what we read today in 1 Corinthians. You see, God has made you all wonderfully different. I'm so glad that no one is all the same. I'm so glad that this is not a room full of me. I mean, that would be terrible. I can't imagine, you know. I'm so glad that this church is diverse, and especially this church. We have so many different ages, so many different backgrounds, so many different settings of life every week, different languages, different cultures. And, you know, the good news is this, is that even though all of you are so different, God has given you the one Holy Spirit. And that is how we all come together. That is why when we look at this church, which is just such like a mosaic of so many different people, how can we all possibly come together? It's because we have the one Holy Spirit given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are under the one redemptive, saving work of Jesus Christ. And that is what unites us all. And it is that one Holy Spirit that is in all of you that makes me realize that if I have something going on in my life and I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying this, I really don't think the Holy Spirit would just single me out alone and tell me only. It is in community also that we discern. I think community is essential for us to check and correct our direction as we follow God's lead. You see, I think we live in an age that really emphasizes privacy and individuality, self-sufficiency. And so this is a little countercultural. I really do believe that we must seek discernment, not just on the individual level, as I've been talking about the past couple of weeks, but also on the communal level. Because God made us for community. And so it just makes sense that God's direction also speaks in the presence of community. And so I wanted to just go through three things today. And there's some verses that we're going to be going through, just three verses that I studied in Proverbs, as just what does it look like to do discernment in community? And the first thing I want to say is that we must seek the company of Christian mentors and peers that we trust. Proverbs 12:15 says this, "The way of fools seem right to them, but the wise listen to advice." I said this last week about how Jeremiah the prophet, you know, warned the people of God, and he said, "Remember that the heart is deceitful." You know, we often can find ourselves going very far on our own ideas. Has anyone ever done something where you have this great idea and it just sounds fantastic? You sound like a genius in your head until you tell someone about it and then they give you this look at, you know, this look back at you and you realize, like, maybe that was not such a good idea. You know, there's been times where I send out this email and I have this great idea and I send it out and then later I get a reply and they have, like, the CC of what I wrote and I'm thinking, like, did I write that? What was I thinking, you know? I should have just went to bed, just sent it the next day or something. You know, it's amazing how far we can go if we keep everything in our head. We justify ourselves. Have there been things where we've made decisions and we have justified ourselves so much that we have completely blinded ourselves to the fact that maybe we are wrong? And it's often the only way that we can really correct this is that we have these kind of safeguards, that we talk with other people, we seek an outside perspective. And when I talk about seeking the company of Christian mentors and peers, I really want to emphasize this. You must watch out who you seek your direction from. You know, yes, seek out Christian mentors and peers, but be wise about who you seek out. You know, those who aren't led by the Holy Spirit, who don't share those same kingdom of God perspectives, you know, they may mean well, they may have very good sounding advice, but they may actually lead you to further confusion. And more seriously, they may lead you farther away from what God is leading you towards. I remember very poignantly in my life, I lived for a number of years in Vancouver with a very strong Christian community around me. And then I moved to Japan, which is about, you know, 0.5% Christian. And a lot of my closest friends were not Christian. They were wonderful people. They taught me a lot about how to love. In some ways, I think, you know, my non-Christian friends were more loving than some of my Christian friends in some ways. But it was because of that kind of revelation, I thought, oh, wow, these people really know how to love, and I trust them, and, you know, I totally, you know, I've learned so much from them. I began to kind of seek direction from them, too. And I'm not saying that they didn't have any good advice, but, you know, when you start seeking your advice mainly from those who are not led by the Spirit as well, you begin pooling the resources and the wisdom of the world more than the wisdom of the Spirit of God. And so, it's not, you know, and I want to be very careful. I don't want to be saying, like, you know, our non-Christian friends or people who aren't led by the Spirit are not useful to us or something like that. You know, we're not using them, but be wise about it. And from that point forward, I realize, you know, when you seek folks in community, when you're seeking people, be wise about who you come to. Are they people filled with the Holy Spirit? Are they people through their life? Do they model seeking God's will? Are they seeking the same Spirit of God that is in all that is given to all of God's people? And not only that, are you be wise about seeking those who listen and treasure the things that are treasured by you. And what I mean by that is that, you know, sometimes we just ask people, but, you know, we can get very discouraged and very damaged if we go to the wrong kind of people. And I wish this was not true, but I have been very hurt by pastors. I have been very hurt by Bible study leaders. I have been very hurt by my fellow Christians. Are they Christians? Yeah, absolutely. Do they seek the Spirit of God? Yeah, I believe so. But, you know, I think one thing can be very discouraging is when you meet these people who don't seek to listen to you, but would rather judge you first. You know, you come to them with a serious dilemma, and then these are the folks who, like, rather than help listen to you and value what you just shared, you know, they're like, okay, let's try and fix you up. Because clearly you're a problem, and you're a problem that needs to be solved. You know, have you ever come to somebody like that? I mean, it's not edifying, and it's not glorifying to God. People who give that kind of advice, I actually ask people, you know, that's not the kind of counsel that would be wise to seek. You know, people who are untrustworthy, when you share about direction, you can't really feel like, you know, are these people that are reliable, that value and respect you? Are they discouraging? Are they judgmental? Because this kind of mentor is not led by the Spirit, and they can cause great damage in the life of the people around them. And I can assure you that they will not shine the light of Christ. You know, when we're in darkness and we're seeking discernment, when we're seeking the light, these are not the light givers. And so I encourage you, you know, sometimes when people are looking for advice, they just talk to everybody, you know, and they're not even wise about who they seek out. And I want to challenge you to seek out wisely. However, having said that, I want to balance that with also the fact that, you know what, when you do find someone who is a good mentor, someone that is, you know, that is led by the Spirit, I encourage you strongly to heed their advice. Heed the advice of Christ-honoring mentors and peers. I know many of us, especially I see this in many churches, you get this familiar pattern. You get, you know, young people who are filled with ideas and momentum and energy. And then when they get older, you have people filled with experience, but they're kind of jaded and lack energy. You know, and so there's sort of this, like, young people kind of judging older and then older judging younger. And then there's this kind of divide. But I really want to encourage, especially younger people, to value the experience of our elders, those who have gone before us, to value their experience, to value and to listen to their victory. Not just their victory, but to also to learn from their failures, too. And, you know, if an elder says he's never failed, then, you know, maybe he just needs to be a little more older. I don't know. But the fact is we all fail. And there's these, their testimonies are not just, you know, when people share about testimonies, this is kind of something, a little pet peeve of mine. You know, a testimony is not about you. A testimony is about what God is doing through you. Testimony is not about, hey, I went through something, now let me tell you what I know. Testimony is about what has God done in you. And the reason why we do testimony is that we all as a community will grow and be blessed by it, by that experience. You know, be eager to learn about the testimony of others. You know, be eager to seek out, hey, how did God move through you in that time, in that experience? And I know you feel like you're the only person in the world. You feel so unique, and what you're going through has never been happened before. And I'm sure you're a very special individual. But let me tell you, the reason that we have other people is that God has sent others before us. And there's so much to learn. You know, my parents, they lived in a completely different context. They lived in very difficult times growing up. I can't even imagine what it's like to lose your father at the age of 12 in a time of great poverty. I can't imagine living homeless, going from, you know, without home, without food, not really knowing what's happening, just living off the charity of others. I mean, this is what my parents were growing up in their time. I can't imagine. But, you know, even though their world is so different, through their testimony, I learned so much. And I can be blessed so much by that. And so be eager to learn about the testimony of others. And, you know, older people, I know it seems like, you know, these young folks, you've seen it all. You know what they're going to go through. You know that they're going to mess up right there, and it's just frustrating you. But I want to just challenge you a little bit, is that the testimony of young people can change older people too. In fact, it's interesting in the Bible that we see this very common occurrence, is that God works through very young people, through David, through Mary. And, you know, we miss something if we get jaded. Many people looked at the young Jesus and said, didn't that little kid come from Galilee or something? I saw him. I don't need to learn from him. You know, there is something that we can learn from younger people as well. And now I've been talking about this sort of as a very selective thing about seek the company of good Christian mentors, you know? And so kind of discern, okay, you're a good mentor. You don't cut the, you know, you don't cut it. You don't make it. And this is very similar to, you know, young people who kind of come for like relationship advice. They're saying, oh, Pastor Sam, it just seems like God has made a famine in the land. There are no good men anywhere, you know? There's a famine, you know, there's no good women anywhere. You know, I've been trying to be wise about seeking a good godly woman. There are no godly people anymore. God, you have forsaken me, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, to these disgruntled people, and this happens in many ways. You can add the parallel to many things. I want to challenge you with this thing. You know, often we're looking for the wise person. We're seeking the wise counsel, and we get disgruntled and we can't find them. But, you know, maybe, just maybe, rather than trying to seek that wise person, how about you start by being the wise person? You know, rather than just seeking the kind of people that you want to seek out for advice, why don't you be the kind of person that would be worth seeking out for advice? And it's interesting when you start changing that around, when people stop looking for Mr. or Ms. Perfect, and they start, you know, becoming that for themselves. It's interesting how everything changes. Then you start to discover all these other fellow kindred spirits. I don't know exactly how that works. I'm sure there's some interesting mathematical formula, but I don't know it. But when you become the person that when people look at you, they say, like, you know, that's somebody I would like to seek advice from. That is someone that I know if I go to them, I will be blessed and I will not be judged. When I look at that person, I'm not expecting this kind of like reflex rebuke, but I'm listening to someone like, even if they do rebuke me, they're going to do it in love. That there's someone who's going to listen to me. That someone who's going to value what I say. You know, if you can't be that for somebody, I think it's not really fair that you seek that out in somebody else. You know, when we're seeking counsel, it's not about saying like, look, you're right, you're wrong. It's not about, look, I'm wiser than you, come to me because of my wealth of knowledge. It's not about, look, I'm successful, therefore learn from my success. You see, because all of those things I just described, they don't display the fruits of the Spirit, as I talked about last week. If you think that's kind of your attitude of being wise counsel, then you're not displaying the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The challenge, which takes more work and more effort, is to be someone who does not condemn, but to be someone who empowers people, not with inspiration, but with the hope of God. To not just infuse them with emotion, but to infuse them with the wisdom of the Spirit of God. A good mentor is someone who recognizes that they're not the only source of God's wisdom. They are not the only source of God's voice, but they are just one voice among a multiplicity. I really encourage you not to have just like one mentor, one person to seek out advice. Wisdom shows that there's a multiplicity of counselors. They, you know, that wise person in your life, they're just one vessel of the Holy Spirit. And all of these vessels together will guide us to the one Heavenly Father's heart. And so that's just something I'm very passionate about. You know, for my parents, I value them deeply. And, you know, I know it's not the case for many families. And it's unfortunate is that I love the fact that I can pray with my parents. I love the fact that, you know, I can have some crazy ideas. You know, I was talking about that whole idea about moving to England. And I thought, you know, they're not going to buy it, but, you know, I know we pray together. And if God's saying something to me, I know because I trust their prayers. They don't have their opinion before their prayers. I know that if God is really doing something, he's going to confirm it in our family. Because we have that kind of, I see that in their life. There's been things that they've wanted me to do, but they don't push it. They always pray first through it. And I remember when we prayed for England, I thought for sure that they would say no. But they said, you know what, Sam, I want you not to go next year, but I want you to, like, you know, I know it's crazy, but try and make that deadline in 2 weeks. Just FedEx it to England. We feel like, you know, this is the year that you're called to go. I found out that the acceptance rate to get into that school was very difficult, only afterwards. But I got in immediately, and I was so thankful. And then I thought, man, how are we going to get the money for this? Like, the loan is not going to come through. I got a great student loan, the maximum value. And the amazing thing was I was a very poor seminary student at the time, and I was teaching a youth group. You know, a youth group. And all of these kids, they raised the money to buy my airplane ticket round trip to Europe. I mean, this is from Vancouver, so it was pretty expensive. And I mean, these kids, they didn't ask their parents. They're all doing like part-time job or nothing, you know? And just on my last Sunday, they said, hey, we got a little something for you, Sam. And it's like this really thick wad envelope and like cash pretty much. And I was like, what is this? I couldn't believe it. God had just provided in so many ways and confirmed so many things. And it was and I wouldn't have had the courage to do it unless I had good Christian mentors around me. I have someone still, even in California, someone I value very much, who I pray with all the time about ministry. You know, and I have people as well in my life that they can come to me at any time, and I pray for them. And you know, it's just that working of the one Spirit in the body of Christ, and it's really beautiful. And for those who like to do everything on your own, you're really missing out. And actually, Proverbs says you're not very wise. So think about it. The second thing I want to say is this, is that if we're seeking discernment in community, you must be willing to be corrected. Proverbs 15, verse 32. Those who disregard discipline despise themselves, but those who heed correction gain understanding. Now, what I've said up to this point, everyone's saying, oh, that sounds wonderful. You know, yeah, of course, I love going to people and, you know, asking for advice. I do it all the time. I tell people what's on my mind all the time. But this is the real challenge. Are you really discerning in community? This is the litmus test. Because many of us, when we say that we're seeking advice, when we're seeking counsel, are we really being honest? Are we really seeking counsel? And what do I mean by that? Many of us want to go to seek God's will in community. But when we go for advice, are we really looking for advice, or are we looking for someone to agree with us? You know, I find myself doing this all the time. Sometimes, you know, I go to Rhea, and I have to confess this. Like, I just want to be babied. You know, I just want, oh, that's such a bad day. And I just want to hear, you know, yeah, what you're doing is fine. I totally agree with you. She never does that. I just, no. I go, and then I call my mom, you know, I'm like, Mom, you know, I just did something, it's been so hard, and you know, I really stepped out for God on this, and I think it's been, and you know what I'm really thinking in my mind, I don't want to admit it, but like, I just want my mom to say, yeah, you know what, you're right, Sam. But you know what, my mom never does that. I just can't handle it, you know. I rebuke her sometimes, like, Mom, you should baby me more. Like, she's like, no, I don't do that. But you know what? That's what I respect and love about them. And it always challenges me. As a pastor, too, you know, every week I'm here. I'm supposed to be the one, like, delving into Scripture all week, having all the answers. But God is always reminding me is that, you know, I, too, must seek counsel, and I, too, must be willing to be corrected. You know, correction is humbling. You know, it's one thing to seek for advice, but are you willing to go to people? I think it takes real courage. It takes real strength, real faith, to be willing to be corrected. You know, correction is about humbling. and it requires a real surrender of your pride. It is really difficult to be someone who, you know, as smart as you are, as talented as you are, to kind of saying, like, maybe I missed it. You know, can you imagine sometimes even as a pastor, I'm thinking, like, okay, I got to be all spiritual. I've got to really know what God wants. There's been times where, like, you know what? I think I've been really wrong. And that's very humbling. Isn't it humbling, like, maybe as a parent, you know, this child is decades and decades younger than I. But perhaps I just made a bad decision here. Isn't it difficult as a teacher? You know, you're the one who's supposed to be giving knowledge. Perhaps the knowledge you gave is wrong. And we must be humble in that way, because I see this so many times. You know, people come to me for pastoral counseling, and then I kind of prayerfully think about it, and I share what I feel is on God's heart, and they listen, and they smile, and I go, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they walk away, and I find out they just did what they wanted to do all along. And what this kind of reveals to me is that they just wanted the pastor to sort of bless what they did. What they want is, like, God to just bless what we're already doing. How many times have we done an investment, whether it be spiritual, financial, energy-wise, and we've been so invested in it. We've gone so far along in it. We've gone so far ahead. Just at the end, we'll just throw a bone to a couple of people to show that, look, we were seeking advice. You know, we're pretty wise about it. But what we're really looking for is someone to just bless what we've already done. And if we set ourselves up for that, we must be very careful, because we have to realize that God does not just speak through you. He speaks through other people. He speaks through very unlikely sources. You know, if you study the Bible, it sounds very strange, but it says that, you know, God has ordained praise through infants and children. He's ordained, like, God's wonderful glory through very unlikely sources. And in fact, as we study the Bible further, he's even spoken through donkeys. You know, who is that donkey in your life? No, just joking. I'm sure we have something like that. Anyways, who is that unlikely source? You know, that unlikely voice. All of us have an unlikely voice. And, you know, we're thinking, like, look, I don't want to hear from that. I don't want to hear that you've been telling me you're wrong. Because we have such pride. How embarrassing to be told what is right from a 5-year-old or something. But sometimes that happens. And, you know, there's unlikely sources in all of our lives. And we would do very well to pay attention to it. If only our pride is willing to let go and listen. Now, I do want to say, though, sometimes people who correct you, they're wrong. I want to kind of give you the freedom to realize that, too. Not just because someone says they're wrong, says you're wrong, doesn't mean you're wrong. Sometimes you have to work against popular advice. Sometimes you have to work against common sense. Sometimes it adds up on paper, but it doesn't add up according to the Spirit of God. But I will tell you this, any rebuke is worth pausing for, whether it be true or not. Even if some advice and correction is wrong, there are things to learn and take away from it. You know, it's funny, I remember, just looking back as my career, like, you know, pastoring in churches, I've been rebuked many times by many different people in the church. You know, I've been told I've been wrong many, many times. So, I guess I need to get used to it. But, you know, when I was younger, when people told me I was wrong, it was more like kind of a battle of wills. You know, people have, like, straight up, I mean, some very strong choice words to me. And, you know, when I was younger, it was more about they come at me with such force, then I'll come back at them with such force. But there was a season in my life where it was just so intense and so difficult. I think God really challenged me to say, you know what, why don't you just stop for a second? Just listen to them. It doesn't mean that it's true or it's not true, but listen to it. See where it's coming from. Understand why they have those feelings. Maybe there's something more than just you going on. Even in this uncomfortable situation where people are not for you, you can learn. And I'll tell you, that was the hardest thing ever, because you want to go either into, like, these two extremes. You want to go into this kind of spirit of, like, look, I don't care what you say because, you know, you're wrong. You're wrong. Or you go into this other thing and you go, oh, yes, you're right. Everything you say is right. And then you just kind of collapse into self-pity. But God is asking you to handle that very difficult tension in the middle. So saying, you know what, maybe some of the stuff they say is completely wrong, but maybe some of it you should listen to. And that is a sign of a truly wise person that can stand in the tension between the middle. So be willing to be corrected. And then discover what God will produce in you as a result. And the last thing I want to talk about is that when we're seeking discernment in community, we must be willing to slow down to hear others and to hear from God. Proverbs 15:14 says, "The discerning heart seeks knowledge, but the mouth of a fool feeds on folly." One pastor who read through the Bible several times, he was asked, "So, looking at the whole of the Bible, could you sum it up?" And, you know, after some thought, the pastor said, "I think it's this. God moves slowly." And that was it. Start to finish, Genesis to Revelation. What is the great truth we have discovered? God moves slowly. You know, I thought about that. And I was like, that's such a cop-out. And then I thought about it more. And I was like, you know, I think there is something to that. And when we hear that, we don't like that, right? I mean, in our day and age, in our generation, we don't want to hear about that. Because, you know, when we hear about slow, what do we think of? We think of ineffective. We think of disinterested. We think of apathetic. And we think of lethargic. But slowly doesn't mean that God is inactive. We just simply call God slow because he doesn't work according to our timetable. You see, you only call something slow if it's not quite working the way you want it to. And you see very clearly, you see in the Bible, God has a plan. He has purpose. He is working salvation. He is working redemption. He is working restoration. But he's definitely not waiting and catering to everyone's timetable. And that is very offensive to us. And that is very frustrating to us. And so when we're discerning, we're thinking like, God, don't you realize I've got deadlines? I've got things to think about. You know, my life is very important, God. You know, can you get me to the front of the queue? Can you, like, cut me in line somewhere? And the last thing I want to do, God, is I want to stop and wait for community to catch up. You know, I don't want to ask for people to pray because, you know, it takes time. You know, I remember, you know, when we were asking Pastor Dan, like, would you be willing to speak at our retreat? You know, it's going to be a great location. You know, if your schedule's open, you know, it should be free, right? But he always says this. He says, you know, Barb and I are going to pray about it, and we'll get back to you. I'm like, well, that's really slow, isn't it? That's very ineffective. How inconsiderate, you know, pray about it. Who do you think you are? But you see, that's just exactly what it is. It's like that wasn't our time schedule. That wasn't our timing. And sometimes we look at God and we say, like, you know, God, your ways, whatever. Look at my ways. You know, I'm busy. And sometimes when we're in that rush, we don't want to heed the call of the community. We hear the individual call of God, maybe, which might be actually from God. But then we don't wait for the community to catch up with us and to confirm it. And we are called and challenged to trust and wait on God's schedule and timing. As frustrating as that might be. You know, I think Proverbs, it talks a lot about, you know, the folly, the fools, the unwise ones. They're the ones who always jump into things. You know, and kind of I got this picture when I was reading 15:14 about this discerning heart who seeks knowledge. You know, who's careful to seek out and carefully discover what God is speaking. And then it talks about the mouth of a fool feeds on folly. And it's interesting that they talk about this mouth of a fool feeds on folly. It sounds like, you know, the fool is this one who loves the buffet of just common sense. You know, just whatever you want to say, whatever advice you have, he just jumps on it. You know, this buffet of folly and foolishness. You know, we can look around this world, and I'll tell you, everyone has an opinion. Everyone has advice for you. Everyone has something to say. And if you just feed off of it, you'll find it. You'll find horoscopes. You'll find studies, statistics. You'll find all kinds of opinions. If you want someone to tell you what to do, it's not hard to find. Even as you pray, you feel like all kinds of competing voices. And the challenge for us to seek God's will is we must see what is from God and what is not from God. It requires a heart that is patient with God, that desires to seek God's wisdom over the common sense of the world. You know, I had shared a couple of weeks ago when my family was going through a very difficult time where we had invested so much money in this prayer ministry of our houses, of these houses where we opened up for anyone to come to pray. You know, we left the doors unlocked so anyone could come. We did suffer vandalism. We did suffer many things. People called us crazy. That was not commonsensical, you know, but we felt very called that it had to be open. And then one day, it turns out, I mean, we didn't have a lot of money, so what we decided to do was we were going to rent it, and then when God provided the funds in the future, we were going to buy the land. But we clearly were not at that place yet. And so we just went in faith. We renovated. We spent so much money renovating the place. And then one day I come home, and this huge for sale sign has come up. And we pleaded with the owner for more time, and he didn't because, I mean, this is a multi-million dollar deal. He's going to sell it all off to become condos. We were so discouraged. And it reminded me that, you know, seeking God's will does not always mean a happy ending in this world. But I remember at the end of it, God was, you know, after praying about it, you know, rather than my parents kind of just going into submission, saying, like, how did we not listen to God? It must have been all wrong. It must have been all worthless, waste of time. You know, what we decided was, even though we had 3 years of ministry there, we would never trade 3 years of serving God's will for 3 years in a comfortable house that we call our own, that we own, that we couldn't open up for ministry, that we couldn't follow through with God's calling. And, you know, that was hard. I mean, like, we don't want to be, like, very noble about it, but it was hard. We were very discouraged. There were tears. There was confusion. But at the end of it, we were so thankful that God had given us at least 3 years to be seeking God's will. And, you know, that's the challenge for us. Are you really serious about seeking God's will? Everyone wants to jump into God's will thinking, like, it always means benefit and success for us. And I'm going to be talking about that next week. But let us be the people who want to seek God's will, not so that we benefit, but so that we see what God's kingdom is doing in our life, that we surrender our timetables, our dances, our desires, so that we discover what it truly is that God has called us for in this world. And that is priceless. And that is what we are all called to under the Spirit of God. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your mercy and your love. We thank you that you are willing to lead us, that if you are a shepherd, we shall not want, and you will lead us to green pastures and by the still waters. So Lord, today we just want to renew our trust in you, and we pray that you would speak to us through the community of God for the glory of your name. Lead us on, God, and give us the strength to follow. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's continue this.